encouragement and empowering, and that it blesses everyone in the room. We come up against every demonic distraction. We come up against what the enemy has already tried to do today. And we speak victory over all of it. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Children's church is now open. Children's church. Yeah, clap for them babies. Amen. Amen. Sister Melinda, Sister Brenda, you're going to have somebody up there taking pictures. Don't worry, it's all good. They didn't break into the place. Amen. It's all right. We bless God today. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different than what I usually do today. I'm a little thrown off, and what I want to do is we have a situation that we've been dealing with. We've had a situation that we've been dealing with. Some of you may have seen it on social media. I've been on a video for Sister Tila Palmer, and many of you know that she... About a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And we bless God that they had the surgery. She was able to have the surgery, and we're believing God that she is healed. This happens to be Marcus's wife. But the treatments that come after that, steal her ability to be able to bear a child. So if she goes through with these treatments, she won't be able to have children. I found out about this at the time that they were finding out that it would take $8,000 to be able to freeze her eggs, and after the treatments were over, that they would be able to try to create a family. I've been saying for a week and a half on this situation that I do not believe that a woman should have to give up her right to create life in order to save her life. I just got a text from Sister Tila. They had a somewhat successful concert last night. It went well. We bless God for everyone that was a part of it. And the reason why I say somewhat is not to say that they didn't handle their business. What I'm saying is somewhat because we didn't get all the money. We went from needing $8,000 to needing $4,400 to $3,360 to $22 something. And she just texted me, and it was at $14. Then she texted me back and said, Pastor, no, it's at $13 now. I'm going to ask that you ask the Lord while I'm preaching today what it is that he would have you to do to be a part of this woman of God. And this is the thing, I'm speaking for a woman of God. This isn't somebody that somebody brought to me. This isn't somebody that hasn't helped us. This isn't somebody that doesn't walk the walk, amen? But she needs some help. And we gotta get this money in by, she's gotta get this money in by tomorrow so that they can start treatments tomorrow. And so I'm just trusting that if we don't get to 13, I'm trusting we're going to get to 13 ourselves. And if we don't get to 13, I'm trusting that we're going to get close enough to it that maybe videos or correspondence with social media later on will bring the rest of it to pass. Pastor, why do you feel comfortable asking us to such a tall order? Because the man standing behind me, sitting behind me, could be making $300 to $350 to $400 a week. A couple of opportunities to have done that. He needed to have done that financially, but he chose not to do that. And he came here and he did something that is unheard of, especially I haven't heard of it, especially in the African-American culture. He plays for free. So in other words, a month's worth of saving, and he'd be able to make sure his queen would be able to have a child. But because he forfeit that to bless us, I think it's only right that we consider to bless him and his wife. Amen. I don't want to take this offering now, but I don't want you to run out after service is over. I want you to think about this. Amen. I want you to think about this. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak victory over Marcus and Tila's situation. We speak that the enemy shall not have his way. God, you made sure that he couldn't have her life. And I know you're going to make sure that he can't have her ability to create life. God, I thank you that you've shown in hard times, crazy times, financial situations all over the place, that in a week and a half, close to 2 weeks, $8,000 has almost been made. People have cooked dinners. God, I ask that you bless them tremendously. People have had concerts and came and sang for free, and I ask that you bless them all tremendously. But God, now I ask that you touch the hearts of our people, the Unity Worship Center, because he's one of ours, which means she's one of ours, which means the child that they bring into the world will be one of ours. Lord, I ask that you touch our hearts, and we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. And I know that there's a spirit out there. The Holy Spirit talked to me while I was praying. The Lyons family gave $300 to the cause. So you don't have to say, well, what are you doing? Because that's what we've done. Plus, I've been infomercialing for a week and a half. Amen. And we are believing, God, that this is going to come to pass today. I want to talk to you from the topic of from nothing to something. From nothing to something. I think I've got three scriptures. It's one scripture. I got it rocking three different ways. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the King James Version says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We're going to rock with the same verse. This time it's going to be, I believe, in the New Living Translation. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." That may have been the Message version. Okay, that was the New Living Translation. The Message version says it like this: "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you." May God add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, but most of all, the doers of his word. Kev, can you grab my glasses off my man. Thank you. Let's look at the top of that again, Kim, real quickly. I love that Message version. And I want you to really take this in, amen? The front part of the Message version. "But you are the chosen, you are the ones chosen by God." Now I want you to take this personal. He says, you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Has anybody had a night and day experience on the strength of Jesus? Amen. Many of you know that I am a person who looks for a sermon in everything. Let me rephrase that. I'm a person who can see God in just about anything. And when I don't see God in it, what I get to see is the enemy and the thoughts, or recognizing the enemy always, what it does, it always takes me back when I see him to God. A few months ago, we were on the way home from church, and for a brief moment, I gazed around the streets looking at how peaceful it was. And I looked up at the sky, and for some reason, it took me back down memory lane. And the Holy Ghost brought back to my remembrance the time that I was locked up in the state penitentiary in LaGrange, Kentucky. And in this prison, all the inmates had what we call a single cell, which simply means we had our own personal rooms. And in the rooms, we had a long, narrow window. And in my particular room, I could see the road which led out of the prison. And in fact, I could actually see on the weekends all the visitors pull in and then leave after their visitation. And at 10:30 every night, the guards would yell over the intercom, "Smoke break!" And all the people who smoked would go outside for that last smoke of the night. I know I just made some going, I just shell-shocked some of us in here, amen. I said, "Smoke break," and a couple of you almost got up. Yeah, I love when I'm amongst my own. And even though I didn't smoke, I would go outside with the smokers because I just wanted to go outside while it was dark and imagine, just for a moment, imagine being at home. And I would tell myself, as I would look up at the sky, if I ever get out of here, I'm never coming back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, the thing that was different about me saying, once I get out, that I wouldn't be back, is because this time, while doing that time, I had messed around and had an experience with this man named Jesus. And in my getting to know Jesus, I got to know myself. And what blew my mind is that the picture of me Jesus was showing me was a totally different picture of the me that I had drawn for myself. And as hard as it was to picture myself as he was showing me that I was, I was able to, because I had come to believe that when I read, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you." I want to submit this real quickly. It's important to believe God. Amen. As that might sound, some of us might need to write it down. It's important to believe God. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This whole thing is contingent upon if you believe he got up. It has nothing to do with how much you claim to love God. It has nothing to do with how much you frequent the church. It has nothing to do with how much you tithe and what position you hold. Your relationship with Jesus solely hinges on if you believe he got up. And that can be hard to believe if you've never seen anybody around you get up. Lord, have mercy. But if you can truly believe in your heart, I'm talking about really believe that he got up from the grave, then the Bible says that you are saved. I know some people done told you that if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't saved. The devil is a lie. I know some people done told you that if you a woman and you walk around with pants, you're going to hell. The devil is a lie. I know that some people done told you that women shouldn't wear makeup. Let me tell you something. If it make you pretty, put it on. Lord, help me. I've read the Bible several times, and I just never got to a part where I read that if you wear your hair down or you wear your hair such a way that you go into hell. The devil is a lie. But not only are you saved, watch this, you have a right to believe that since he got up, now you can get up. And this is critical because many of us find ourselves in the situation of load the bar. Lord, have mercy. Load the bar is basically translated a place of no communication, a place where no life dwells. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I don't know about anybody else in here, but there's been a time or two in my life, watch this, since I've been saved, that I've just needed the strength to get up. And the reason that you have a right to believe that is because we understand that he died so that we could live. And the enemy, more than anything, is on a mission to make you forget what was done on Calvary. He ain't studying you being on the praise team. He ain't studying you on the deacon's board. He's not studying any of that. What he wants to make you forget is what was done on Calvary. Because if he can make you forget what was done on the cross, then he can make you forget that he got up despite Calvary. Lord, have mercy. And no matter how crazy it gets, no matter what I believe, no matter what I have to deal with next, if I can remember that he got up from the beatings, if I can remember that he got up from the embarrassment, if I can remember that he got up from the pain, that he got up from the betrayal, if I can remember that he got up, then when the storms of life hit my life, I'm not so easily moved. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hey, I feel like preaching this thing. It's mind-blowing, Lord, have mercy. It's mind-blowing to see yourself, how God sees you, after all these people around you who you're connected to show you a picture of you, and what you see on their picture is enough to make you want to give up. Is it anybody in the building that knows what I'm talking about? You just got them certain people in your life that no matter how high you ride, and they have the ability to bring something up from your past and to take the wind right out of your sail. It's enough to make you feel like it's hopeless. It's enough to make you ask yourself, with this picture right here, who would want me? Can I talk about the picture just for a second? The picture would make you say, who would want me? And can I just go ahead and tell you that the picture that Satan has painted for you, the picture that your haters have painted for you, the picture that people that's jealous of you have painted, can I say, not only have they painted a picture of you and shown it to you, you bit the apple. Many of us in the building can say we bit the apple. We believe that we look like what they said was on the canvas. And how do I know that we believe that? Watch this. Because I have my heart broke more than one time. You understand what I'm saying to you? He was able to get it without a commitment. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me in here. See, it's only when I believe the picture, watch this, that my value in self begins to go down. And when it is that my value in self begins to go down, when I really don't think I'm worth waiting for, when I really don't think I'm worth whining and dining, and you know, without the wine. But if I really don't think that I'm worth taking time with it and showing me that I'm really the apple of your eye, and that I'm really beautiful, and that you really want to spend the rest of your life with me. If my self-esteem has been hit, it's hard for me to believe any of those things. So watch this. So we operate in the mode of thirsty rather than confident. Say it again. No more of that. In fact, look to your neighbor and tell them, ain't no more of that. Tell your other neighbor, I'm worth more than that. Hallelujah. And it's so critical that we first believe God, because once we believe in him, it allows this relationship to be formed. Lord, have mercy. And once we begin to form a relationship with God, we are allowed to be intimate. And please understand, I don't mean the intimate in a sexual sense, but we're able to share in an intimacy of I exposed my truest me to him. And it's not that he doesn't already know my secrets, but instead that he wants me to break down any walls in me that keep us apart, with me being so ashamed or too ashamed to come to him about anything. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Well, once I tell him that I've got issues with drugs, see, then I can tell him anything. Once I tell him about my greatest fears, see, then I can tell him anything. Once I tell him that, you know, every now and again something thick walk past me and it make me look twice. Once I tell him that, I can tell him anything. It isn't that God doesn't know about your secrets. Why he wants you to confess them to him is because you confessing them to him says that I believe what you said when you said it, you would never leave me nor forsake me. So it don't make no never mind how foul, vile, jacked up, or messed up my secrets are. I can tell you, and I have faith in you, that you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
So he demands that first off in the relationship, watch this, that I say I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then he asks, watch this, sorry for what? Oh, Lord. And it's then that I confess my worst. I confess my shame. I confess my truths. I confess the real me and the me that don't too many people know about. The me that if you happen to know that about me, you probably wouldn't even fool with me. If I confess the real me, the me that says I'm so ashamed of how I am, then I can tell him anything. If you can tell him about your worst, and you see that he still loves you, it becomes easier and easier and easier to trust him. Case in point, somebody didn't read the sign. Jesus. Watch this. And it's in this intimacy, or it's in this conversation with him that I release all there is about me. And I begin to release how I see me. In the same conversation, watch this, he begins to tell me that's not who I am. And I think, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. This ain't even in my notes. I think that's why when Paul got saved, when he was Saul, and then they transformed him into Paul, I believe that's why he broke away from all of the disciples and he broke away from all the apostles, because it was folk gonna be around him that was gonna tell him, now I remember you. You can't be the one that loves Jesus. I remember you. You used to kill us. You used to lock us up. You hated us with a passion. And so Paul had to get away. Watch this. He had to get away so that he could build a bona fide relationship between him and the Savior. He begins to tell me that I don't have to stay this way. Lord, have mercy. And after I confess all my worst to him, watch this, he says something crazy to me. He said, and I still love you. Is it anybody in the building that blows your mind? Because you got family members that heard about some stuff that you did, and they don't speak to you this day. They don't claim you. They wish you changed your last name. When they see you coming, they go the other way. But this perfect God, this Prince of Peace, this lily in the valley, this bright and morning star, you can tell him about your worst, and he still loves you. Anyway, oh, Lord. In fact, may I suggest that it's unlike any relationship I've ever known. Lord, have mercy. He's so patient in the process because he understands the reasons that I do the things I do. Lord, is it anybody that would be happy that you serve a God that when you trip, slip, and mess up, watch this, he ain't shaking his head, he ain't turning his nose up, he ain't writing it down, here you are again, I ain't gonna give you grace this time because I just gave you grace about that last week. Now, we serve a God that sees us and understands us and has a mercy, and most of all, a love for us despite where we are. He understands the reasons that I do what I do. He understands why I sometimes mess up, why I sometimes fall short, because he actually listened when I confessed myself to him. And that's a major difference between God and people, ain't it? People don't listen with intensity and depth that some of life's struggles that you've had to endure and go through. Watch this. See, people with agendas will listen to your pain, to your tragedies, just to later use what you shared with them against you. And they will comfort you in such a way. Lord, have mercy. And after you share your pain, they will cause you to believe that they really care. They be saying stuff like, you know, I can't believe you went through that. Baby, you ain't never got to worry about that with me. I ain't never going, uh-uh. You know what? That's because you wasn't dealing with a man. You was dealing with a child. But now that you were a man, you ain't never got to worry. I'm talking to somebody in here. You understand what I'm saying to you? They tell you whatever you need to hear the way you need to hear it. And the reason that they're able to bait you in with it is because Satan never shoot a sin to you that don't fit you. Every sin that every temptation that he presents to you, it's a temptation because you like it. You like it. And so they will comfort you in such a way, and they make you feel like they really care, and they say all the right things and promise all the right promises that the vulnerable ear wants and needs to hear. And then after they've accomplished their goal, they show their true self. Let me tell you something real quick, and while I'm fronting, I did that. I met my wife, and I said, I am way out of my class. And so she had this little car situation going on, and I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, when I met my wife, she said stuff like, is those real gold teeth in your mouth? And I was like, yeah. And then she said, are those tattoos on your arms? And I thought to myself, I'm losing her, Doc, I'm losing her. And I said, yeah. And so I knew that no matter how far the relationship would go, I had two strikes against me. So one day she told me, we was on the phone, and you know how it is in your when you're courting, you dig? And, don't get excited about people when you first meet them and they super smooth and they so sweet and they so, oh, I can't believe that he walked me to the door. Oh, I can't believe he took me to McDonald's. He didn't take you for you. He was hungry. You just happened to be in the car. But. I'm gonna leave that thing alone. My wife, she told me, she said, I got this little issue. We're gonna get married, and you probably need to know about this little issue with my car and this car that I had, and it's on my credit score. And if I pay it off, you know, then I don't want to bring that to the marriage. And I said just what y'all look, the dudes knew what I said. Baby, don't worry about that car. I'll take care of it. I'll pay it off. Let me tell you, when you've been hit, you miss the obvious. Because I said something like, don't worry about it. She said, are you serious? She said, I don't want you to do that. That wasn't your problem. I said, hey, we already be married. I'm going to get another job to make sure you straight. But common sense would have said, listen, I didn't even have a car at the time. Common sense would have said, if I was going to get another job, maybe I'd have. About 3 months into our marriage, she had the audacity to remember, look at her overlooking, she remembers that. She's upset about it still. She had the audacity to have pillow talk about this car. She said, hey, baby, it's been about 3 months. You remember when you talked about the car and all that? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. She said, so when we, I said, girl, that was loose rap. I wasn't going to tell you. Buy no car. Pay for no car. It wasn't even my car. I didn't even ride around in the car. Am I lying, baby? Is that what happened? Yeah. After that, I had to learn how to cook. Listen, people will listen to you, watch this, but not have the depth in themselves to hold properly what it is that you share with them. So before you pour yourself out, be sure that who you're pouring yourself into has the capacity to hold what it is that you're pouring. And so as a consequence, after you bury your pain, all of a sudden you begin to see them act different, distant, and disengaged. And that's why the Bible says you've got to be careful not to cast your pearls amongst the swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn against you. And I don't know about nobody else up in here, but I've just come to learn over the years that a part of my pearls is the pain that I had to go through in certain situations that once God delivered me, made me the person that I am today. And some of my pearls, watch this, is some of the pain that I'm still dealing with due to things that I still struggle with that are, for whatever reason, I've yet to give them over to God. And I've learned over the years after the betrayals and after the hearing my pearls of my business out there in the street that I can't talk to everybody because everything, watch this, I can't talk to everybody about everything because people will turn against you with the very thing that I confess. Fighted in them about. Lord, have mercy. But with God, he can be trusted. With God, I can find a freedom to be me no matter how messed up I am. And I know, watch this, that I have an ear to hear. Then whatever it is that I'm going through, he is faithful to bring me out. He won't bring it up, watch this, to hurt me later on. He won't throw it in my face if I happen to mess up with him. He just reminds me that this is not who I am, and he loves me. He loves me anyway. He also shows me the reason that I see myself the way that I do. Watch this. And that's critical because once he shows me why I have such a low thinking about myself, I begin to learn what and who I got to stay away from. Watch this. Because people can become painters and painters draw pictures. And I begin to find that some of the greatest artists in my life have drawn such dark and bleak pictures of me. Some of you've got artists too, and they are negative people in your life who always find a way to cut you down, to play you like you less than and like you really don't matter. They're the people in your life that are constantly reminding you of your past when they feel like your success got you acting cute. Can I just go ahead and tell you, I give you permission to get on your phone right now and text every hater that you know been a hater in your life for a while and let them know we are no longer friends. Don't stop by my house. Don't call me no more. I'm not going to block you. You just bet not call. Lord, have mercy. God is changing nothing into something. Woo. Be careful. Watch this. Be careful. Lord have mercy. Be careful of the people who knows you used to be a mess times three. And now that you are getting yourself together, they keep bringing up what you've been through and the life that you come from. I just need you to understand it here today. Everybody's not trying to keep you grounded. Watch this. Some people just want to keep you on the ground. And if they can keep you on the ground, watch this, they understand that they can keep you messed up. And with the pictures of you that they paint, then they keep everybody else and everything else all messed up in your life. And as long as you're all messed up, you can never and will never function properly. That's why you people, there's got painters in your life. You say, he said you people, yeah, because I got rid of all my painters, amen. But watch this. You can get a good job and finally surrounded by some people, good people, but because you're all messed up, because of who you're connected to, you feel out of place because you see they're normal and realize how not normal you are, and it begins to make you uncomfortable. You've got to be careful when you find yourself not comfortable with success because for so long you've been used to losing. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you got a job at McDonald's last week, but 2 weeks ago you were smoking crack. 2 years ago you was hoeing in the back alley. But today you, oh, did he say that? I sure did. I said that. But but today you working the fries over in McDonald's on Richmond Road, and they can talk about you all they want to, but you know what you come from. You know what you've been through. You know how it almost broke you. So sling those fries with so much style. Sling those fries with so much style. Sling those fries with so much attitude, because God is taking nothing and he's turning it into yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you find yourself not comfortable with success. You've got to be careful when sitting home and getting a check seems better to you than going out and getting a job and not allowing the government to limit you to what you can do, limit you to who can be in your house. I'm talking in here today. But if you could ever just get this picture out of your head, if you could ever, watch this, get the way that they think about you out of your head and begin to see yourself the way that God sees you, I promise, baby, you'd be a force to be reckoned with. Wouldn't nobody be able to stop you? You'd have a life without limits. Nobody would be able to claim you. And since God listens, he knows the problem lies in your mind, and he knows is how you see yourself. So God is there. All you got to do is press in. And God says everything that they said about you was a lie. You are the head and not the tail. You ain't gonna be the butt of the joke no more. You gonna live and not die. You can't stop getting high. You can't stop drinking. You can't stop sleeping around. Baby, your worth ain't in between your legs. Your worth, oh God, your worth is in between your shoulders. Talk to me in here. You got to get into God when you get into his presence, because he shows you the you really are. So God listens. And he knows that the problem lies in your mind. He knows that the problem lies with how you see yourself, and how you see yourself because how people have duped you into believing, how they've duped you into feeling about, also because some of the things that you've been through. See, some of us in here have been through so much that you know, it's hard to get it out of our minds. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And every time we try to do better, that moment pops up. And every time we try to be happy, that moment pops up. Every time that we try to love and be loved, that moment pops up. And it's always in my mind, the picture of me that's messed up due to my mistakes or due to what people done to me. Either way, I can't get it out of my mind. And God knows that. And that's why he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know that God is in the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Evermore. So he had better for me on his mind on Calvary. Watch this. And he has better for me on his mind right now. So now I understand why he wants me to discard my mind, my thinking, because in my thinking, I'm always going to be a mess. In my thinking, I'm never going to be good enough. In my thinking, I'm always going to fail and be ready to give up. So he says, you need to operate from my mind, because once you begin to operate from my mind, my thinking, my way of seeing things, watch this, you'll never walk around the same again. You'll never walk around the tail again. You'd get rid of these dead beats in your life if you could operate from how he sees things, and more importantly, from how he sees you. It's this time, watch this, it's in this time alone that I cry out through the Holy Spirit, and he reveals things to me. He gives me a glimpse of who I'm supposed to be, and that's why it's so important that I believe in him. That's why it's so important that you believe in him, and not just believe him, watch this, believe in him. So God, if you say I'm going to be happily married one day, I believe you. God, if you say that I'm going to have a life without confusion, I believe you. God, if you say that I'm on my way to better than what I was yesterday, I believe you. I'm with you, Lord. I've adopted the mindset that, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, just don't do it without.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
It's important, watch this, I'm almost done. It's important to believe in God so that when God shows me my destiny, watch this, I don't get in the way with my low opinion of myself. It's important to believe God so that when he sends me on a kingdom mission, my fear does not prohibit me from operating in the authority that he has placed over my life. And if I believe in him, watch this, I can believe him when he says, I'm forgiven. If I can believe in him, then I can believe him when he pushes me forward, regardless to who's around me saying that I ain't good enough. If I can believe in him, then I do the assignment without pause, knowing confidently that if he be for me, who is it, anybody in here that needs to tell your haters on Facebook today, if God be for me, don't make no never mind who be against me. If God be for me, it don't make no never mind who's talking about me. If God be for me. Hallelujah. I'm changing my mind and I'm going from nothing to something. And it don't make no never mind how I may have failed before. This time I've got God with me. So failure is not an option. Don't make no never mind how many times I had to start over. Baby, this time is the one time when I start. I'll never be looking back. So I have to believe him when it's crazy all around me and it looks like I might not come out of this thing. I have to believe him when I'm stuck and it gets to feeling like this is a no-win situation. I have to believe God when I dropped the ball again on myself and you said to me, a man falls 7 times but he gets back up again. It's something about believing in God. It's something about believing what he said about yourself that can cause you to walk in a room with people who don't feel you qualified, but walking around like you own the joint. I come up against every demonic entity that spoke hell over your life. I come up against every hater in your community, in your personal community, in your personal space. I come up against your kids that don't want to forgive you. I come up against your ex-boyfriend that talk crazy about you but really wants you. Taking me from nothing to something. He's taking you from nothing to something. It's something about being real with yourself. Because you can tell people what you want them to hear and they might believe it. You can tell people what makes you look good, and as long as you act real good, they might believe it. And I've come to realize that if you lie long enough and you lie strong enough, you'll start to believe yourself. And that's why it's important, watch this, to do self-inventory. Because with self-inventory, you have to include God. And just a little talk with Jesus, and he shows you your mess. Just a little talk with Jesus, and he shows you where you're wrong. And it's just a little talk with Jesus, and he'll call you out on your lies. I mean, he makes you have to deal with yourself. He shows you the real you, and not this image that you've concocted, but he shows you the you that you really are. And the you, watch this now. Now we're going to flip the barrel of the shotgun. Now he shows you the you that can't be trusted. The you that always schemed, the you that would lay down with anybody, the you that would et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you fill in the blanks. But then he tells you something that just blows your mind. He says, I have the power to rebuild you into more than you've ever thought you could be. I have the ability to reconstruct you and make you stronger and wiser than you've ever been before. But what you're going to have to do, watch this, is abide in me. Because if you'll abide in me, then I'll abide in you, and I'll give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like how the Amplified put it. Behold, I have given you the authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and this physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing in any way shall harm you. Can I just go ahead and make that plain? God says, I'm giving you the power to do what you used to couldn't do. I'm giving you the power to be able to say, bye, peace, see you, don't want me. You ain't got to tell me twice. Holler at you, baby. I'm giving you power to look at the crack pipe and say, nah, not today, baby. I'm giving you power to look at sexy decks and say, as fine as you are, you won't be getting this no more. He says, I'm giving you power. Giving you power. I'm giving you power. Watch this. And as he gives you power, something crazy gonna happen. Watch this. People that's been around you, watch this. They're gonna start to show you who they really are. It was all right just a week ago when I was crazy. It was all right when I needed you, when I had to borrow money. But now I done messed around and got myself together. You got a problem with me. I thought you'd be happy that I don't have to steal no more. I thought you'd be happy that I don't get high no more. I thought you'd be happy I don't call from jail no more. I thought you'd be happy that the whole game has changed. But the one that was supposed to have my back seems the one to be the one that's stabbing me in my back. Something strange happens when you begin to get yourself together. It was all right when they thought they was cute, but now that you think you cute because you done had 2-3 victories in your lap, you understand what I'm saying to you? Now they got a problem with you shining. Be careful of the one that always wants to remind you while it's your time to shine what you used to be. Cut them off. He says, I'm giving you power. So that when your flesh rise up in the middle of the night and you feel a need for somebody to come over and tend to your issues, God gave you the power to say, nah, baby, I'm over that. When folk keep talking about you and don't even know what they're talking about, keeping things started, always got your name in their mouth, and you go and you on the brink of rolling up on them, and you know, and God says, nah, baby, I gave you power over that. When sickness riddles your body and you feel like you ain't never going to be well, you feel like you ain't never going to be made whole, even the doctors say, we don't know what else we can do for you. God said, I gave you power over all that. And that's why we can stand in the midst of the storm. That's why we can stand in the deep of the valley. That's why we can look hell straight in the face and confidently declare, no weapon, not a single solitary one of those weapons formed against me will be able to prosper. I ain't got a front no more. I'm powerful for real. I ain't got to lie no more. I'm anointed for real. I ain't got to act like I'm more than what I really am, because God showed me a real picture of me, and I'm all right with who I am. He's turning nothing into something. Come on, be seated. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Verse number 9 ends by saying, called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And I love the beginning of verse number 10 in the New Living Translation. It says, once you had no identity as a people. Lord, have mercy. Can I say that again? It said, once you had no identity as a people, but now you're identified as the people of God. There was a time when you wasn't even considered. It was a time that in people's minds you didn't even count. It was a time that you wasn't in the census, but you was not a people. But now God says, not only are you the people, you are the people of me. And once you had no identity as people, so this explains why we were caught up in the darkness, people treated us like everything but people. In fact, just about every person in here done said it once in their life. You treat me like I'm some type of dog or something. And the reason why folk played you like that was because when you're in darkness, when you accept darkness, people can't identify the potential in you. They can't identify the God in you. But I dare every last one of you in this building today to declare to every Samson in your life, to declare to every mountain in your life, to declare to every hell in your life, every hater in your life, maybe God has taken nothing, and he's taken me from nothing to something. And on the strength of where he's taken me, you get to take me nowhere any longer. I decree and declare right now, you have enough wits about yourself, you have enough nerve about yourself, that the people that you know don't like you, next time they call your phone, you do answer so that they don't call your phone no more. Cut the cancer out of your life. Don't leave a little bit of it talking about, well, it ain't that big of a cancer. Cancer spreads. Cut it out of your life so that you can live. So that you can live. When I begin to think about was not a people. When I begin to think about in hotel rooms, heart beating out of my shirt. So high. So drug addicted. When I think about smoking them dirties, you know, the paper pipe, to the point where I got 3 keys in my trunk, but I'm scared to leave the hotel room because I'm paranoid, so I'm on the floor crawling around like an animal, hoping that something fell on the wayside so I could get high just one more time. When I think about the letters that I received in jail, people telling me that they were leaving me, people not bringing my babies to see me for almost 2 years. When I sat in a shower and contemplated strongly slitting my wrist because I was so tired. When I think about those days of nothing, when they wouldn't call back, when I had to catch the bus when I first got out and cats that wasn't winning against me when I was in the street winning, they laughing at me as they see me getting on the bus. And I'm crying on the bus, talking about, God, I need you to show up. I'm trying my best not to go back. Anybody ever had that conversation with God? I'm trying my best not to go back. I can't take too much more. When I get to thinking about those times that my son would stay right by my side and we lived in a car because we couldn't afford rent, but I was determined not to go back to the streets, and my 16-year-old son would sleep in the car and I'd take him to a restaurant or somebody's house that we might know, and he'd take a quick shower, he'd take a bird bath in the bathroom, but he just kept saying, I ain't leaving you, Daddy. When I think about Lo Debar, the place of no communication, the lowest that I had ever been. And then I begin to think about yesterday. Then I begin to think about last week and last month. Then I begin to think about today. And I can truly testify that he took somebody from nothing and put them into something. And if today you feel me, today you declare and you decide that you are tired of the way that it's been. You ain't worried about more money in the bank. You ain't worried about how big your house is. You're just trying to find joy. You're just trying to find joy. You ain't worried about designer clothes and what's the name of your car. You just happy to be rocking with peace. I don't know about nobody else in here, but I've lived long enough to understand I can have all the money in the world, but if I ain't got no peace. I want you to know that there's room at the cross. I want you to know that today you can leave this building really not the same as when you came in. You can make a decision. You can make a real life decision that I'm going from nothing to something. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it ain't going to happen overnight. And Satan going to try you on every hand. But can I tell you, because I feel like I got some people in here who feel like they've been going through hell all their life. Satan never goes to war where it ain't worth it. He never goes to war where it's not worth it. So if today you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, for real, we offer you to come on down. There's room at the cross. You ain't got to keep going through it. Hallelujah.